Welcome to the weekly edition of Beyond the Title, where we get to know the person behind the strategy, the story, and yes, the brand. Joining us every week are senior professionals across the globe. So amazing that we just have to know who they are. Hey, welcome again to another session of Beyond the Title, where we speak with exceptional professionals with extraordinary experiences. Now, joining today, today is going to be Women's Day, guys. We are shooting this on 8th of March, but joining us today and also the person I admire a lot and have known for a while is Sarah Papamichalis, the Director of Rider Experience at Uber. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Now, it is great to have you. How are you doing? And happy Women's Day.
Thank you. Well, we're all celebrating Women's Day internally at Uber. There's a lot of activities going on, but I have to say that I admire you equally because you celebrate women all year round. I think you're my personal marketing person. In LinkedIn, you keep on adding posts of me and tagging me, so definitely something I'm happy to be doing with you today.
I love you for that, Sarah. Now, can I ask you, because you did speak about celebrating Women's Day internally as well at Uber. What does that mean? What does that look like at Uber?
Well, a bit like you, Uber doesn't actually celebrate only Women's Day. All year round, we're all, including the women in the company, receiving training on how to combat bias. A lot of the men have been trained on how to be allies to other women, awesome. And they have allyship trainings on how they can help promote and also pinpoint and basically exempt or get rid of bias in the organization. So apart from that, there's also numerical stuff. So we have targets, of course. So it is not something which is just celebrated once a year, but all year round.
Wow, congratulations. Huge shout out to the Uber team for an amazing job done and continue to do that and inspire action. So now, Sarah, of course, I want to get to know you better through these questions I've got set for you. I've known you for a while, so I'm going to ask you this because I don't know the answer to this. What is your ikigai? What's the reason you jump out of bed every morning?
You mean apart from the alarm clock? Well, so the reason to get up and go to work, when we used to go to work, that is, of course, because we're in lockdown. Basically, my team, which is my passion, my team, and also the customers that we serve. So you mentioned the riders. We also have the drivers in Uber. Those are the people who I'm actually trying to fix the experience for, improve the experience for, and basically give them a better, joyful experience of our service day in, day out. So I would say the team on one hand, and then, of course, the customers as well, equally so on the other hand.
Awesome. And before this, you know, you were at Philips, you were doing the consumer experience for male grooming, right?
Yes.
And I remember the story you shared with me about, or with us at Savage, about the One Blade iteration.
Yep.
Do you have, you know, a lot of that alignment that you did back in the day to what you're doing right now with Uber in terms of just working through that philosophy of yours?
Yep. Very, very similar. So for both roles, I was looking at the experience. Obviously, the one for One Blade, very different to another male grooming product, very different to Uber. The One Blade is a physical product. The shavers were a physical product. It was about building a digital innovative ecosystem around that physical product. Whereas currently for Uber, I have nothing. I live in a service world where everything is digital. So the ability to impact is very different. And the ability to make change is very different. In Uber, we have masses of data, possibly too much, because we see incremental steps in the journey. Whereas in Philips, in the physical product world, we have to basically make sure that we built the data and the ecosystem. But similar concepts, just different execution.
Wow. Today being the day it is, who is the one woman leader that inspires you and why?
So Michelle Obama, despite being a cliche, because I think probably the females in the world get inspired by Michelle Obama. That's the who. And then the why, she is an extremely strong, well, at least she comes across as an extremely strong leader. She's intelligent. She's knowledgeable on all sorts of international products. She's her own person, so despite the fact that it's Michelle and Barack Obama. She has her own entity. She's her own brand. and she exudes empathy.
True. That is true. Yeah, and a remarkable person to actually to give a shout out to today. Thank you. In the hustle of things, and I, you know, again, we're going into this lockdown right now in Hungary. By the way, are you in restriction mode? Are you in lockdown in NL as well?
Yep.
Right. So in the hustle of things, in the middle of being an amazing mother, an amazing wife, an amazing professional as well, what's that one app that keeps you sane and structured?
So if you talked about what keeps me sane, I would give you a different answer. But because you've added the word structured, you're talking about planning. So I would obviously have to respond very specifically my agenda, because it is the only thing that keeps me sane. I have a 7-day agenda with day-to-day activities for work, day-to-day activities for the children, weekend activities for the children and for myself. And of course, when I look at it and it's blank and has nothing in there for me, I make sure that I go for a walk with somebody just to get some inspiration and a little bit of me time as well. So definitely my agenda.
Oh, wow. Wow. And is it all connected on your Google Calendar now? Or?
Yep.
Yeah, kind of figured, right? If it's not there, it doesn't exist.
In fact, my husband and I often make jokes that if it's not on the calendar, you didn't tell me or I didn't tell you. So, we often have conflicting, I don't know, conference calls in the evening or conflicting things. So basically, yeah. But yes, we're definitely in full lockdown at the moment. Schools are on and off, which makes it very difficult to be a working parent, of course.
And you've got two very beautiful kids, both 13 and a half and 9 and a half, right?
I'm biased, but I would agree with you. But yes, carry on.
Of course, they're beautiful kids. They're your kids, of course. What was your first job like? What was the one lesson you took from that? And you've continuously, kept on that through the career you've had.
So I'm going to give you the professional answer. So the very first job I had when I was a teenager was shoveling chicken shit, which was not exactly what I would classify as the inspirational professional attribute. So if I need to answer the question properly, after university, my very first job was as a project manager in a machine translation agency. And basically what it gave me, or what skills I learned, were ability to plan, ability to project manage, talk to people, talk to customers, and basically manage a lot of stakeholders. So those are very much tools that even now, when I talk about my career going back in time, I feel that they were a very good foundation for everything that came after that, excluding the chicken story.
Where was this? Was this in Greece? Was this in NL?
Greece.
Wow. Okay. Never had the chance of doing that in the past. I will maybe put that as an idea for the kids that she do. It's character building at the end of it.
My friend's father had some chickens and decided that we were going to make extra pocket money by doing it. So if I'm factual, that was the first job.
And what is the biggest leadership challenge you've faced in the last 6 months or right now, given that we are in the state we are in?
So the problem that I have right now, and any manager I believe has right now, is predicting anything at all. The reason I say that is because a lot of what we do at Uber is plan for the future. We either plan in increments of quarters, half years, a year, or we even plan this weekend, we're expecting this amount of people to be taking an Uber on Friday evening. All of the data that we have amassed over the years, the AI, the machine learning, none of that is relevant right now. Basically, we cannot use any of that kind of information to predict what's happening. Governments are opening and shutting countries. Mayors are opening and shutting cities. So what may be correct for London is not correct for Manchester. What may be correct for Dubai is not relevant for Paris. So our ability, where I sit, which is in EMEA, to predict anything at scale is very, very difficult right now.
So based on that, what is the hope that you have for the future?
That we get back to the semblance of normality. By normality, I don't know if we're ever going to go back to where we were, but I'm looking towards Israel at the moment, which has 96% of population coverage. They're opening up, they're allowing freedom, spontaneity, all the things that we used to take for granted to come back again. So my hope is that we as a globe, not just in our specific countries, but as a globe, will be able to get to that a lot faster.
Amen to that. I'm praying. I'm praying for that exact same thing. During the lockdown, we've had this beautiful niece born to us in Australia, who I have not had the chance to go meet with. Love to go back and meet my mom at some point in India, or even, sit down for my sister's wedding, which should be sometime this year, fingers crossed, if I can get there.
Steve, you forgot the most important thing. We haven't seen each other. We haven't seen each other for 3 years. What is it now? 2 years, 3 years? You know how long physically?
I know. I was supposed to come out. I think I had planned it out for autumn last year, and then I thought, okay, maybe it is December last year, and then now I'm going, I'll be happy if I can just get TNL sometime this year. Fingers crossed there. Again, I haven't even seen the new Philips office. I haven't, seen your office yet.
No.
And I've heard so much about it.
I haven't been there for a year either. So we're actually, what is it, March the 9th? Tomorrow we will be finishing 1 year of lockdown. So there you go.
Tough. But hopefully this year is the year when we see that end, the light at the end of the tunnel. What is your message, not just for Women's Day, but what is your message to professionals, young professionals who are watching this video right now?
Interesting. So young professionals. So we're presuming that they're around 25, something like that?
Yes. They could have, been someone who's just getting into jobs or someone who's at least done 1 or 2 years of work.
My one piece of advice is that your career will be a roller coaster, which means you get on at the beginning and you expect to arrive at the end, but you can't see the twists and turns. You don't know which are the ups and downs, and sometimes the downs end up being the best ups. So that would be my one piece of advice. You can control the beginning. You know you're going to get somewhere, but you cannot control the ride. There you go. An allegory for you.
Let me add a question to that, because I love the ups and downs of it all, right? Has there been an interesting fact about your work life, right? A down that you thought at that point in time, oh no, this is it. I don't like this, but ended up being an up for you.
Absolutely. When I first moved to the Netherlands from London, I obviously did my research, applied for lots of jobs, got a job, moved my whole life over to Amsterdam because I wanted to be in this beautiful city, and loved the country. And basically, I got made redundant on my 30th day of my new job. Why did I get made redundant? Basically, because the US mother company, the HQ was in the US, had decided to shut down the Amsterdam office of the company I was joining. So I was all alone, ostensibly, in a new country, in a new environment, with not many people to help me, which ended up, in the end, being a good thing because I learned resilience. I learned how to ask for help, which I don't think many people are very good at, and certainly not me. And I also got a completely different career path because I hadn't done the planned, organized way of thinking. So that's why I say the roller coaster isn't, you're not always in control, no matter how much you try and control it.
Wow. Is this when you joined Philips as well?
No. Way before Philips.
Wow.
This is not Philips.
No. I know you've been at Philips for quite some time. You were at Philips for quite some time.
I was at Philips for 11 years, but before that, 4 years in another company and 2 years in another company in the Netherlands.
Wow.
20-year anniversary was in September.
Yay. That is amazing. 20 years. I'm at my 17th year, I think.
And I bet, like me, you didn't plan to come for that many years, right? I was planning on 2 years. But hey, there you go.
God bless. And what has been the proudest moment of your professional life so far?
I'd have to talk about my team when about talking about the proudest moment of my professional life. So So one, there are a lot of pulse surveys and surveys that are being done, and my team was voted as the most, the best team to collaborate with, which in an organization which is very siloed, where everybody has to work together, but there's a lot of silos, I took as a very big personal accomplishment for us as a team, not me personally, but us as a team, to congratulate us on a job well done, basically. So there's impact that you can deliver, but also if people want to collaborate with you and enjoy collaborating with you, then for me, I took that as a very proud moment.
Wow. And this is at Uber, I'm guessing.
Yep, but had also happened at Philips. Like, happy to say so. It's not just one.
It's a pattern, Sarah. It's you. I'm telling you, that's the common denominator there.
Hire the right people. That is me.
Hiring the right people, that is a huge challenge for a number of companies. And I think a lot of companies do try to learn from each other, right? Or at least from the colleagues that they have. Awesome. Sarah, thank you. You are an amazing guest, as always. A lovely person and a great friend that I would love to keep inviting to a number of our programs. Thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, especially on Women's Day, by the way. And thanks for celebrating us as we have been celebrating you too.
Thank you. Thank you. And for everyone watching us today, thank you for watching us. We are here every Thursday, 10 a.m. CET, 5 p.m. Singapore time. Again, if you've liked this video, please do drop a like and comment for us. But if you want to drop in speaker recommendations or, guest recommendations, feel free to do so. You can DM us directly on our YouTube channel, our LinkedIn channels. Until next time, stay safe. Stay